Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the street day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the street telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Tell you he can save. The Lord can save. Ooh, he can save. Save your soul. I tell you, through Jesus Christ, your life can be changed and made whole. He can bring everlasting joy and peace within your soul. And in many ways, I feel just like an old man. Born in the country, raised on a farm. No money, no fancy clothes, no fine homes and cars. But thank God, Mama and Daddy raised me up on the real deal. And that's God Almighty. And sometimes when I sing about Jesus and people won't listen, I feel like I'm just a nobody.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm your host, Brother David. I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. I love that song. I love that song. I love that song. I love that song because, you know, they thought Jesus was a nobody. No fancy steed, no fancy cars, no cars in that time for sure, but no steed, no fancy clothes, no mansion he lived in. But he was telling everybody that he could save somebody. So I just love that song. Well, again, welcome to another week of the Spirit of a Soldier. Let's go right into prayer. I'm always excited about praying because we're talking to the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name. We uplift your name. We praise your name. We say hallelujah, hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name, God, because you're the Lord of lords and kings of kings, the Prince of Peace, Father God. You give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Father God, I just thank you for another day, for giving us your breath and your strength, Father God, to become men and women of God, to be able to be your children that go forth and share the good news of all the promises you give, Father God. The greatest promise of all is to have the eternal life with you. Oh, I just praise you, Father God. I glorify your name. I say thank you. I say thank you. I say thank you, Father God. As the William brothers say, I'm still here because of the grace of you. I thank you, Father God. And anyone of the sound of my voice is still here. So they should be thanking you. They should be rising up right now and just praising your holy and majestic name, saying hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for you brought us so far. You brought us so far. You know what? Sometimes people don't realize how much you done brought us, Father God. If you've been blessed to live on this planet for 50 years, you've been on this planet 18,250 days. God has been blessing us a long time, blessing us a long time. Every day he gives us his strength and breath. Father God, I just thank you, Father God, for this day. Now, as I get ready to go forward, Father God, let me, David, decrease, and let the Holy Spirit rise up big in me, and let give me the words needed, Father God, to accurately and proficiently declare the works of your word, Father God. Allow me, Father God, to be used. As he said, who to send? Send me, Father God. Send me, Father God. I may not know what's ahead of me, but I know you're already there. So, Father God, I thank you. I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice, Father, coming in. Bless them going out. Bless their families, Father God. Bless their bodies, Father God. Touch their bodies in a mighty way that your healing power from Christ, Father God, through the shedding of his blood right now, Father God, will heal them, that every atom, molecule, cell, tissue, organ, and system will be healed right now, Father God. Any affliction, Father God, that they're experiencing, Father, will leave and not return a second time. I thank you, Father God. Oh, these are your blessings that you give us, Father God. These are your benefits that you give us, Father God. You forgive us our inequities. You redeem us from our own self-destruction. You put in our mouth a good thing so that our youth is renewed like an eagle. I pray over the people right now, Father God, that you're just renewing their strength, Father God, renewing their strength in you, renewing their hope in you, renewing their trust in you. Father God, I just thank you right now. Father God, I pray over relationships right now, Father God, that relationships are being mended, Father God, through the glue of your mighty power of love, Father God. Love is growing beyond imagination right now in all the relationships, fathers to sons, mothers to daughters, both parents to all their children, Father God, grandparents connected to their children, Father God. I see it right now, Father God. I see the mending of relationships, Lord. Iron is sharpening iron right now. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the windows of heaven blessings pouring out blessings upon them. They wouldn't even have room enough to contain it. And because they can't hold it, they got to give it away. Oh, I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for you supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we claim that authority. Why we can claim it? Because it is written, Jesus said. It is written, Jesus said. And because it is written, it is so. And your word does not return void. So, Father God, as I proceed forward to deliver this message, Father God, I'm just a messenger. But the message that go forward with the power, Father God, that you have given it, Father. For your word, it has that dumenous power, that impact power, that life-changing power, Father God, that will change the hearts of many. Let them now have ears to hear. Let them have a heart to believe. Let them have a mind to receive, so they too, Father God, can grow in you, so that we all can walk towards that spiritual maturity that gives us victory in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm pumped up and I'm excited. As we say now, you pump me up, I am pumped up. Hallelujah. Today's quote is, be an encourager to the world, because we got enough critics already. Our greatness comes when we appreciate each other's strengths, and when we learn from each other, we can lean on each other. Michelle Obama. Individually, we each are one color, but together we make a rainbow. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us at 3:3, can two walk together unless they agree? And Proverbs 13:20 said, he who walks in with wise men will be wise, but the companion of a fool will be destroyed. And Proverbs 22:24-25 says, make no friendship with angry men, and with furious men do not go, lest you learn his way and set a snare for your own soul. Hallelujah. So I want to tell a little story about a temper. A young fella had a bad temper, and his father decided to teach him a lesson. So he said, son, I want you to take this bag of nails, and every time you lose control of your temper, you will hammer these nails into this fence. On the first day, the boy hammered 37 nails into the fence. The son gradually began to control his temper over the next few weeks, and the number of nails he was hammering into the fence slowly decreased. He discovered it was easier to control his temper than to hammer those nails into the fence. Finally, the day came when the son didn't lose his temper at all. He told his father the news, and the father suggested that his son should pull out a nail every day if he kept his temper under control. The days passed, and the young boy finally was able to tell his father that all the nails were gone. So the father sat down with his son on the porch, and he looked over at the fence. He said, son, you have done well. The holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same. When you say things in anger, they leave a scar just like this one. You can put a knife in a man and draw it out. It won't matter how many times you say, I'm sorry, the wounds are still there. We all have moments of anger, disappointment, and letdown. This is a part of our human existence. But if we are quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, our response to our human interaction won't leave permanent wounds of pain, but can become lessons we need to grow from for a positive change. And I want to tell you another little cute story about a group of frogs. Group of frogs. As a group of frogs was traveling through the woods, two of them fell into a deep pit. When the other frogs crowded around the pit and saw how deep it was, they told the two frogs that there, who was in the hole, just give up hope, and they were going to leave them. However, the two frogs decided to ignore what the other frogs were saying and proceeded to try to jump out of the pit. Despite their effort, the group of frogs who had supposed to have left stayed around the pit and was saying to them, just give up, man, just give up. You're never going to get out. Eventually, one of the frogs took heed to what the other frogs were saying, and he gave up, falling down to his death. The other frog continued to drop harder and harder and harder. He kept jumping. And again, the crowd of frogs who was at the top of him kept yelling, stop, stop skinning yourself through this excruciating pain. Just die. He jumped even harder and finally made it out. When he got out, the other frog said, didn't you hear us? The frog explained to them with his hand gesture that he was deaf. He thought they were encouraging him the whole entire time. You see, people's words can have impact on our lives. Think about what you say before it comes out your mouth. It might just be the difference between life and death. For the scripture tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. Use it well, or you could leave someone in the pit of death. So we're going to recap from our previous series, if you will, the question that was asked, or the title, who blaze are you sharpening with love? We addressed some of the key points as it related to our present-day situation of all the negative things that are happening in our world today, the pandemic, the increased loss of lives, loss of jobs, businesses closing, family relationships coming apart, worldwide anger, and a host of many other devices Satan is using to bring us to our knees, but not just in prayer, but also in fear. Where this fear is causing people to question, where is God? Or does he even exist? We're becoming so anxious in our circumstance that our faith is being put into question to revisit what faith is and the importance of us needing that now faith, our present day faith, to give hope to us for a future in our present day crisis. We looked at the scripture of Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. However, in many cases, we don't see it, we don't believe it. Meaning that our faith is not about what we see now, but what we believe, what we believe now. It's about what we want for our future. Yet at times this can be difficult. In these moments of distress, overwhelming circumstances, chaos, and magnifies these fears, or those fears, if you will. Therefore, we discover that we may need to reach out and ask for help. Turn to our brothers and sisters who are also experiencing life challenges in such a way that their blades need sharpening. And as our brother, the late, great Bill Withers' song said, there may be time I have problems, which you will understand, for we all need somebody to lean on. We were able to confirm this based on the word of God that told us in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Here we see an interaction between two faithful people. It could be your friend, your brother, your sister, your parent, your husband, or wife, whose heartfelt goal is to help others improve by sharpening the iron stone or the iron tool or the sword, if you will, against the iron sharpener. For you see, the primary purpose of this analogy comes clear in Hebrew for the second half of the verse that can be translated as one man sharpening the face of another. Just as a man sharpens the face of a sword against a sharpened iron in order to make it more suitable for combat. And that's what we is, people. We in a spiritual combat that our weapons of our warfare cannot be used as a carnal way. We have to use the word of God. You see, so does the faithful friend who is equipped to help his friend succeed in this journey we call life. And the scripture tells us in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow. It judges the thought and the attitude of the heart. Everything comes from the heart. We can betray on the outside, but what's in a man's heart, so shall it come out. Then we pointed out the importance of love as our baseline to compare when we're trying to sharpen another or be sharpened. Without this foundation, everything we do is in vain. See, I like to say the scripture confirms it. See, it don't matter what we say in our opinion, the word never lies. God is the word. See, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, if a man speak in tongues, men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clinging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to the poor and give my body over to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I've gained nothing. But we need to know what love is, what love is not, what love always does, because if we know what something is or supposed to do and what it's not supposed to do and what it will always do, we now have an application for appropriate participation in whatever endeavor we are pursuing because we understand love. And we looked at what love is based on Paul's statement, as he said in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It's not envious or boastful. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth, God's truth. It always protects. It always builds trust. It always makes sure there's hope for the future and always preserves. Love never fails. See, God can't fail because God is love. He gives us that hope. He told us that in Jeremiah 29:11, a hope for the future. Then we brought up the practical application from our brother Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages of Love, to help us see what the expression of love looks like in our daily interaction with each other, or if you will, how we can sharpen the iron, the sword, the spirit of our brothers and sisters in times when their faith, belief, and hope got dull. Those five languages were words of affirmation, act of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. These languages were the outward manifestation of the inward development of love in order that the individual who wants to express or display their iron to show they are willing to share their iron or iron sharpener to help sharpen someone else. I suggested iron sharpen iron require a degree of responsibility for both parties to be willing to come together, permit each other involved to give construction redirection. Once that established relationship of trust and mutual respect has been built, in order to address particular shortcomings and exhortations that either may have or need in particular times in our lives. Thus, this allows both parties involved to maximize on their God-given gifts that they have in order to help them move closer to their personal or sometimes collective assignment that God has designed for them. And I always say I like to ask the question, what does this look like? Let's see from the word a vision of this in action. And we spoke about the brother David and Jonathan, who had built a covenant, a promise, where through their time together, he had kept David safe and promoted his interest to the point he was willing to destroy his own chances of inheriting his father's throne. Jonathan's friendship would be at a cost of his relation with his father, his own career, and his reputation. Because Jonathan and David had a covenant with each other that was about developing a level of communication, See, there's steps to communication, which allowed them to have understanding of each other's fears, doubts, insecurities, secrets, weaknesses, and strengths in order to know when one needs the other to sharpen them in their moments of distress. And I know, we all know that Brother David, the king, was in a great deal of distress. As a young man, as a soldier, a future ruling king, as a reigning king in his latter part of life. But let me point out something about this relationship. It still was a covenant, which I didn't address last week. This showed us what the individual was willing to do to sharpen one another for the best interest of the other. But I always like to point out everything requires check and balance. But we saw in 1 Samuel 20:16-17, Jonathan and David made an agreement that even David's descendants had to keep. Then Jonathan said, I pray that the Lord will take revenge on your descendants if they break this promise. He's talking about generations to come. That's a covenant, brother. That ain't like, oh, you cool with me, I'm cool with you, we all good, and then when something gets funky, we go another direction. Oh, no, this is going to be on and on and on and on. As my girl used to say, on and on and on and on. It's going to keep going on and on. Jonathan thought as much of David as he thought of himself. So he asked David to promise once more that he would be a loyal friend. He didn't say a perfect friend. He said a loyal friend. This agreement comes with a lifelong price, a sacrifice. But let me point out who also had a covenant in the word. There was Noah, which is found in Genesis 9:1-7. This covenant was with all living creatures. God promised never again to destroy all life on earth by flood and created a rainbow as a sign of this everlasting, on and on and on, between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. Then there was Abraham out of Genesis 12:17. This covenant with Abraham was about his seed, his offspring, both natural birth and adoption. Then there was Moses' covenant out of Exodus 19:5, made with Moses and the Israelite people. This covenant promised to make the Israelite his treasured possession among all people. Then there was David, King David, found in 2 Samuel 7. This royal covenant was made with David. It promised to establish his dynasty forever, on and on and on and on, while acknowledging that the original royal covenant promise had been given to the ancestors of the whole nation, Abraham. And then there's a covenant made through the sacrifice of his blood, Jesus. This solemn binding agreement which comes from God, who is the sovereign administrator of all covenants made. Hallelujah. And what does the word say about this? In Luke 22:20, it says, and like this cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. This now went into the blood, to the blood that was shed for the remission of sin, on and on and on and on. And then Hebrews 9, therefore he is the mediator of the new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Eternal, on and on and on and on, when we long gone. Since the death has occurred that redeemed them from the transgression committed under the first covenant. Hallelujah. Then in Hebrews 8:6, but as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediated is better, since it is enacted on better promises. We get better promises. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime somebody tells me it's better, that's good news to me. So we can see how serious the covenant is and the binding power that is all about commitment and dedication. As I like to say, from our army values, there was loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. This is what it takes to be that iron sharpened iron, where one can turn and you know that they have an alliance with you. That you know and you and them are devoted to, that you will maintain a level of integrity that is reliable, a sense of duty that moves you to selfless, that requires you to exercise personal courage. This is what Jonathan and David displayed with each other. Yeah, how are we today when it comes to sharpening the iron of our brothers and sisters? How are we today? Are we bold enough to put our life on the line? See, I always ask the question when I join my church that I attend now in the first few minutes that I arrive, what are you willing to die for? See, we all say we want to be like Jesus. However, that's a loaded question. And sometimes when you bring it up, people start shaking like Don Knox. But I'm not talking about the necessary physical death, but the selfless service that means you got to possibly sharpen someone else's iron, give up something, provide something. And then I talked about the five love languages. Again, let's go over that one more time. Because now this is the outward display of telling your brother and sister, yes, I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to be there for you. I want to actually show you what love really means through these expressions. See, you can have love all day long in your heart, but if can't nobody see it. See, Jesus knew that some people couldn't believe unless he did the miracles. So he was willing to help their unbelief. He was willing to help them to get that ever-increasing faith by one miracle after another. Some people are not spiritually mature yet to sit back and just believe by not seeing. So Jesus understood that at their level. He came, as we always say, come as you are. Jesus accepted them as they were. Hallelujah. So in this case, if you had a sword and it was dull, and he or she could just toss it away and get another one. But if you value it, or if you will, and you attempt to sharpen it in order to keep it for as long as you can, this shows you that it warrants that value of investment. See, David, Jonathan, Moses, God, Abraham, God, Moses and God, Jesus and us, through God's love, showed us we warrant the investment. So much so that instead of God tossing us away, he sent his only begotten son to save us for a better day with him. Hallelujah. So let's consider the steps that we need to take to sharpen iron through the love language that's found in God's love we spoke about in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Step one, confirm the value of anyone who's in need of affirmation, even if you don't know they do or you haven't communicated clearly yet. The first one is affirmation, such as letting them know that they are sufficient in God. Sometimes we don't realize how equipped we are. Why? Because we compare ourselves to others, therefore not counting the blessing that God has put in us to be our best. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Sometimes one can see others being blessed, but lose sight of their own blessing by becoming blind to the outward appearance, but overlooking the blessing that God put constantly before them. Sometimes when I was telling the chaplain the other day, I say, you know, in America, you're only inconvenient. You're only inconvenient. You are truly blessed. This is the promised land. All the countries that I've been blessed to travel to, for a poor boy from Louisiana by way of Detroit, Lord has blessed me to be able to see a whole lot. And I've seen poverty at its worst form. And maybe it's more even worse than that, but what I seen was enough for me. And when I came back to America, all I could say was, Americans are spoiled. They don't realize how blessed they are because they're so busy looking for more, they forget to look at what they have. As I told the chaplain, I can ride past people in the summer and see their garage and see how blessed they are. I can see, you know, they had a show on these called The Hoarders. Well, you know, there was some extreme personality disorders and what have you. But here's the deal on that. I think that Americans are all hoarders because I can guarantee, based on this conversation that I'm presenting now, that if I came to most people's houses, probably 50% of the stuff they got in our houses we don't even use. We got clothes we don't even wear. Some people got clothes with tags still on. Oh, we blessed here in America. Oh, we blessed here in America. So sometimes we can't see. We're always looking for something else. For you see, God is blessing us in every situation, even when we think that we're not being blessed, because it's coming from the spiritual blessing, which is more important than the physical blessing since we are spirit. And the scripture tells us in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual thing in the heavenly places in Christ. Another time, confirmation is when people are so guilt-ridden that they can't believe that they can be forgiven. So we must always remind each other God's wonderful mercy and forgiveness so we can move from making our life experience a life curse versus a life lesson. Hallelujah. The scripture tells us in Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. You see, Jonathan believed that David was worthy of his life being spared, even if he had to sacrifice his own in some form or fashion. As I stated, what are we willing to die for? Because Jesus did. We all say, as I said, we want to be like Jesus, but we all get like Peter and deny Jesus in the time when that iron needed to be sharpened. When Jesus needed that support, the only one who was standing there was that young man, John. He kept it moving. But Peter denied him and told him at the table that, oh, no, I would never deny you. But, oh, when the crisis comes, when the challenges come, when the storms come, what are you willing to die? And, again, it's not necessarily a physical death. And then we take step two, showing someone what you are willing to sacrifice through selfless service by way of active service. Active service can mean different things for many people. Thus, it is important that we get clarity of what it means for all parties involved. David did this with Jonathan by going to talk with his father to determine if his father's plan to hurt David was true. Here we see the personal courage displayed in the affirmation of actions and words when both discussed the plan of action that was risky, but there was a willingness to take care of each other in times of distress. What are we willing to do in times of distress? Are we willing to make the sacrifice? Are we willing to give up? Are we willing to do, like I said, those saying, talking loud and saying nothing? Are we willing to step up to the plate? Are we willing to take the bullet? As a soldier, and I can say this with authority, as a soldier, I saw men lose their legs. I saw men lose their arms. I saw men get burned beyond reason. I saw men who couldn't see. And when I say men, I'm talking women too. I saw this. I saw them laying in the hospital. But what they would say, when can I go back to duty? When can I go back and be with my guys and girls? When can I go back? That loyalty, that commitment, that act of service, that selfless service, that's built in the heart of a man. What are you willing to die for? See, it's all good when it's all good. When everything going your way, and I see this all the time, and I know I'm guilty of it too, but I'm striving every day to work towards the mark of perfection, to mature spiritually so this don't even move me. I'd be like a dead man in a casket. Nothing you say, nothing you do, nothing you can do can move me. I'm still standing the same way. I'm standing on the rock. What are you willing to do? Many times people don't want to take the risk. They don't want to inconvenience themselves to exercise that act of service, that selfless service that Jesus did for us. So when somebody cried for help, hey, help me sharpen my, give me hope, help me to build that trust, or we stand down. But oh, when everything's good, as the Teddy Pendergrass said, where are all my friends? Where are they? When those times are good, but when they get bad, they disappear like roaches when the lights come on. Wake up call, people. But the word tells us in Act, hallelujah, in Act 20:35, everything I did, I show you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. What are you willing to give up? See, it's always about everybody wants the blessings. I was telling somebody the other day, this is a little off track here, but I was saying, you know, we always talking about our enemies. We always talking about people doing us wrong. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite songs by the William brother, and he say, I'm still here. And he say, I know y'all can relate to this. I've been lied on. But how many people you done lied on? Indirectly or directly? Got caught up in them conversations. See, we all miss the mark. We all fall short. We all gossip. We all do this. As a matter of fact, we gossip a little bit when we talk about the work. What is God talking about people? But see, we got to make sure we look at the heart. Look at the heart, because we all trying to mature. We're all trying to get there. And once we get there, we can put off them childish ways, as Paul said. We don't think like a child. We don't act like a child. We don't talk like a child. We have grown up to be men and women of God. We've grown and matured. We have that spiritual maturity to move forward. Hallelujah. In Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We move to that maturity that we begin to show our light. What good is having a light if you got it in a cave and nobody can see it? God put a light on us when he gave us that breath and that strength. That light should shine. That light should illuminate itself across the world. Be not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are you willing to die for? I remember I heard a case where a young kid died for standing up for Christ in a country that was unacceptable. What are you willing to die for? Or are you talking loud and saying nothing? Oh, don't get it twisted. I'm looking in the mirror too. This is why we do what we do. We're sharing the good news, because when we share the good news, what are we trying to do? Build disciples. That's what Jesus did. He built disciples to go into the world and share the good news, so we have the strength to sharpen our brothers and sisters. Sharpen their blades so they be ready for the battle, because the battle's coming. Even though right now we know the bigger picture, the battle's already won. Oh, but it's still a battle to deal with while we walk this earth. You see, Philippians 2:4 said, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. What love says, I said about the baseline of love, it is not self-seeking. It is not self-seeking. So we look out for the interests of others. Step 3, always remember gifts are viewed from many perspectives. Therefore, value their the other view, not just your own. People like things to feel appreciated. Many people believe that this language can seem more self-centered, thus causing it to be misconstrued, because one is looking at the outward expression versus the inward meaning of receiving gifts. See, remember, Jonathan gave David gifts such as his beautiful and precious clothes that brought the same recognition of importance he had as he was next in line to be king. The same recognition, the same value. Sometimes we got so many clothes. Now, if somebody took that brother in that song, he'd say, I'm just a nobody. He'd say, I'm just an old homeless bum. But if you put them fine vines you got on and you put them on him and clean them up, he would look mighty fine. He would get the same recognition as you. If you put them nice clothes on that sister out there struggling on the street trying to make some money so she could take care of her kids, you put them same clothes on her that you wear to church every day, every Sunday, she would look at the same recognition as you, and nobody would know. That's what David was willing to do. Then Jonathan gave David his bow and his sword. Said it was so valuable to him doing his valor service as a soldier in the past. Now he was passing it on to the king, the future king, so he would be able to exercise these great abilities that he had with his sword. See, but the greatest gift that he gave David was his loyalty of friendship. Thus, as we receive or give gifts in our display of love language, we need to know the value of our gifts to the person. Building that intimate relationship so you know them, and they know what you require and why you are giving the gift. Again, this is about communication. Communication, communication. For too long, we take communication lightly, which is just a nice buzzword. Whether it's verbal, emotional, or psychological, without a doubt, spiritual, we need to understand the value of the giving in any form of expression when we're talking about giving gifts. So the scripture tells us that in 8:12, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And Proverbs 18:60 say, a gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. And then 2 Chronicles 3:31-12 says, God's people faithfully brought in contributions, tithes, and dedicated gifts. This shows that giving is not about just money or material, but that all contribution is important. And then the fourth one is giving quality time with undivided attention. Give your quality time. The quality of your time will determine within the quantity of your time. This means being deliberate, being focused, being there in the present moment to truly display the sharpening of someone else's blade or iron. How can we really get to know someone if we don't spend the quality time with them? We understand this in our walk with God. How do we know God? Because we know him by spending that time. And as we get to know him by spending that time, we get to know his love, his goodness, his mind, and his heart. But if we don't spend that time with him, as we do with our brothers and sisters, or if we don't do, we don't get to know the person. When we are present, we need to be deliberate. We need to be focused on that person we interact with, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And if we can't be there physically, like a soldier in the war zone interacting on Zoom, like David understood this with Jonathan, because when Jonathan went to go check out whether or not his father was going to harm David, he left him physically, but he didn't leave him emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. He was always with David throughout the time because his mission, his attention was on David. When you're with someone, you want to make sure that your attention, your focus is deliberate, because you can be in the presence. But anytime I hear people say, well, I was with my kids. Yeah, but you was on the phone. You were texting. Your kids were running around. Or the father say, I was with my son. Yeah, but you were sitting there drinking with your buddies, having a good time, and your son just wanted to spend that quality time with you. Or your partner was down and out because he wasn't as cool as you. He would be called the nerd, but you ain't got time to hang with him unless it's on the down low, because you don't want your cool friends to know that you hang out with this nerd. And I'm just using that term as a description. So we got to give that undivided attention. See, the word tells us in Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, as I just talked about, but encouraging one another. Now, all the more as you see the day draw near. In Colossians, 4:5-6, walk in the wisdom towards outsiders. Make the best use of the time. Let your speech be always gracious, seasoned with salt, so that they may know how you ought to answer each person. Or I should say, you may know. And in Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up like them frogs. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and three-fourth cord is not quickly broken. That's tight. That's tight. As we say, that's tighter than a Chinese hat band, we used to say. And then 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your soul by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, a pure heart. And then there's step five. Learn the value of physical touch and its power, for it is different for everyone. Spiritual intimacy carries the power within the physical touch. This is the last of the love language, which also gets the bum rap, because it seems to stimulate certain common visuals that may not be common to all. Just as if I tell you to think of an apple, you might think of a red apple first. But if it's not your favorite apple, you may imagine a gold one, a red and gold, what have you. This is true with physical touch. This doesn't mean physical touch as just in the sexual nature, but more the closeness, the intimate connection that have healing power to the soul. Tells us in John 13:5, again, I like to confirm with the scripture. Then he poured the water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around. That physical touch, that closeness, that bond, that connection, that covenant. This ain't of a sexual nature. This is a physical touch to let you know you got value. And then Luke 8:46 says, but Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceived the power had gone out of me. See, that touch carry power. That carry power. That impact power. Why? Because Jesus said it. He felt it leave him. So it had an impact. That's how powerful touch is. And in Matthew 20:34 say, Jesus in pity touches their eyes, and immediately they recover their sight and follow him. So in conclusion, iron sharpening iron is about the level of accountability and responsibility to each other with the right heart motive that builds a covenant that can't be shaken, broken, or weakened in times of need. Do you have that? Are you building that? Do you even know that? I've seen many people, and I've counseled a lot of people who have been together for many years, many, many years, meaning many, many days. Some couples have been together 50 years, and I gave the number 18,250 days. What was your covenant like? Did you get to build that intimate relationship? Did you express those languages? Did you show that person that they have value? Because all those five love languages are only about value. Showing that value to the person you with, as Jesus showed us how valuable we were. When everybody turned away from him, when they tried to kill him early on in his ministry, when they put him down, belittled him, and shut him down, he kept moving forward because he said we have value. We will warrant the investment. Are we doing that? Are we taking that iron and are we sharpening? It's about having that foundation that's sharper than a two-edged sword, which is the word of God that brings about the openness to be there for each other. There's a willingness to allow each other to be sharpened, or in the case, listen to each other's need because of the fact that they want to see that person be the best they can be. And this is done that we display the right attitude of openness and acceptance as it relates to wise counsel. As the scripture told us, if we hang out with fools, we just preparing ourselves for the pit of hell because we just damaging our own soul, basically. Advise us to get that constructive redirection for each of us in order to execute the decision to increase and produce a higher probability for the best outcome possible. Hallelujah. And in John, 1 John 4:7-19, I won't read it all, but it said, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God, knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Whoever loves in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we have the confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, and his sister talked about that yesterday. It was ironic enough, we got the same last name. I knew I liked her. Hallelujah. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. When we display God's love to each other, we can truly be iron that sharpens iron for the betterment of ourselves, our brothers and sisters. So I got just enough time to talk about the soldier's perspective. Seeing is believing, or is it? So let me tell you the story of a blind girl. There was a blind girl who hated herself purely for the fact that she was blind. The only person she didn't hate was her loving boyfriend. Hallelujah. And because he was always there for her. He was always there for her. That loyalty, that covenant, right?
Uh-huh.
She said that if she could only see the world, she would marry. One day, someone donated a pair of eyes to her. Now she could see everything, including her loving, devoted, committed, that one that had that covenant relationship boyfriend. Her boyfriend asked her, "Now that you can see the world, will you marry me?" The girl was shocked when she saw that her boyfriend was blind too, and she refused to marry him. Her boyfriend walked away with tears in his eyes. Later, he wrote a letter to her, and he said, "Just take care of my eyes, dear. Just take care of my eyes, dear." Whew, hallelujah. Let me get my head together here. Sometimes our wants and desires have pros and cons because of our expectations that could be blinding us from really seeing our blessings. Thus, we should let our hearts be guided, for it will give us an inner vision that God has put inside. Let love be our inner motive to sharpen each other's iron, for then the blade we use will only cut away the pain of the thorn, where only the beauty of the rose will remain to ease our heart, because what we really see is God's love that will never part. I hope this message that the Holy Spirit gave me will help you to recognize the importance of sharpening your brothers and sisters and allowing your brothers and sisters to sharpen you, because we all need somebody to lean on. And let us not lose sight of the gifts that God has given us. Let us not lose sight of the blessings every day God gives us, from the least to the greatest. And he said, "He who is faithful in little can be faithful in much." I can say that he who appreciates little can appreciate much. Let us not lose sight of the reality that all of us in our journey will get dull. So we need each other to help sharpen us in those rough times. We need each other to encourage each other. We need each other to uplift each other. We need each other to motivate each other. We need each other to sponsor each other. We need each other to walk side by side with each other. We need each other to listen to each other. We need each other to support each other. We need each other to have a shoulder to lean on. We all need each other. And let me say this. Nobody got a problem that's new under the sun. Oh, it may be displayed differently out of a different person, but at the end of the day, these problems existed from the beginning, and they will finish until the end. So there's nothing new under the sun. So as he say, we got to please swallow our pride, as Bill would say, because what happens? Pride before the fall. We all need to sharpen each other's iron. We need each other, especially in this time right now. I don't know what the pandemic all about. I heard a whole lot of different perceptions and ideologies and what have you about. I don't know what it's all about. I'm just not that wise and that smart. But I do know this. And the songs said, there's a change going to come. I hope that this change is a change that helps us to recognize how much we need to sharpen each other's iron, how much we need to support each other, how much we just need to be there. So as we move towards this season that now recognize the birth of Christ, his coming to save us, and recognize we warrant the investment, let us recognize what we're willing to die for. No greater thing that a man do than to lay down his life for his friend. He didn't say by role, He didn't say wife, husband, children. He said friend. That incorporates everybody. We get too wrapped around roles, titles, and positions. But what we're talking about is that neighbor, that's everybody. There's everybody you don't like, and there's everybody you do like. Because Jesus didn't discriminate. He did that. He was not a respecter of person. He was a respecter of love. He was a respecter of God, because God is love. It's wake-up call, people. It's wake-up call. Everything is unpredictable. People are transitioning to God quickly. They're transitioning quicker than I've seen them over in theater. And I saw a lot of people, 1 minute we talking, the next minute they gone. Every day, as the song say, I'm still here, is by the grace of God. So we need to wake up. We need to wake up and realize that we need God. First and foremost, we need his love. We need to build that intimate relationship with him and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be our guide. And how can you do this? The word tells us in Romans 10:9, if we declare with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God that I raised him from the dead, thou can be saved. Therefore, pray with me, if you haven't said it before, Father, I confess that Jesus is Lord. I make him Lord of my life right now. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. I renounce my past life with Satan and close the door to any of his devices. I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe and I accept you, Jesus, my Lord, and I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. Now all things are new in Jesus Christ. If you said this, you'll open up the door to the golden opportunity, whether present here or present with the Lord, it's a golden opportunity because now you'll open the door to God's promises, eternal life, an abundant life while you're here. And this doesn't mean you get everything you want. As again, when I was a child, I thought as a child. This ain't childish talking here. This ain't childish thinking here. This is about being an adult and realizing that your primary mission now is to go out and share the good news, to build disciples so they can share the good news and let the world know what God has given. God has loved us in such a way that he gave us his only begotten son, that we may have life and have it more abundant. So again, we got some great people displaying and sharing the good news of God in many forms of fashion with Kingdom Development Institute. And if you want to write us for prayers or requests, you can write kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. If you need to contact the home office, it is 313-583-9739. And if you want to sow into the ministry, it is www.giveify.com, GIVELIFY.COM. It is important that we come together. It is important that we work together. It is important that we love together. Happy holiday. Enjoy your holiday time. Fellowship with family and friends. Call somebody you ain't called in a while. And tell them that you love. Be not ashamed. As I said, we use all these other four-letter words. But be not ashamed of the gospel and share your love with others. Let them know they got value. They warrant the investment. I'm your host, Brother David. And again, as I always like to say, pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch and see what God will do. I know what he's going to do. He's going to put that good thing in our life, that abundant life. Love you. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. See you next week.
The gift that looks good on you.
You are born with a grace.
The gift that looks good on you.
That grace is your gift.
The gift that looks good on you.
It's a divine enablement.
The gift that looks good on you.
If you work your grace, the grace will work for you. Company, teach the lesson.
The systems of the world will try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For these systems were designed to make you doubt what heaven said.
Don't you doubt.
The systems of the world,
these systems
will try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For these systems were
designed
to make you sit down on your
heels. Don't you let.
But the gift God gave to you,
this gift,
give it back to him.
Offer it up.
When he sees it,
yes.
It's a compliment to him.
Give him glory.
For the gift God gave to you.
work your grace.
It looks good on you.
My gift works for me.